As we look at the scriptures this morning, go ahead and open your Bible to Philippians 4. We'll begin in verse 4 in just a moment. The year 2020, I don't know how it's been for you, I could guess. For me, it's been a year of strangeness. It's been a tough year. And I think for a lot of people it has been, right? I keep hearing people in person and sometimes in the media saying, can we just get past 2020? Let's get into 2021. It's got to be better than what we've been through this year. There's been a lot to trouble us and make us anxious this year. Issues in government, a big election year, the COVID pandemic, of course, most of all. Protests and violence last summer. It's been a tough year for us. But for today's lesson on how God teaches us to deal with anxiety, I wanted to find a sermon illustration that was more personal than all these huge national and international issues, because we've talked about those a lot, and I was just ready to kind of look more at the smaller scale, the more personal level. So I was looking for a good sermon illustration for this week, something personal, and I found it. Because in the middle of the week, the latest Christian Chronicle, Church of Christ newspaper, came in the mail, and I just opened it up and thought I'd glance through the articles real fast, read it later on, and sure enough, inside I found my illustration, and here it is. If anyone has good reason to be anxious on a regular basis, it's this woman, Deanna Glover. Let's put her up on the screen. There she is with her family. Deanna and her husband, Victor, and their four daughters worship with the Churches of Christ in the Houston area. Some of you who received the Christian Chronicle may have read about them already. Deanna has reason to be anxious all the time. See, the problem is her husband's line of work. He got this new assignment at his job just recently. He's been preparing for it for several years. It wasn't a surprise, but it is something new. Now, with this new assignment, he has to be away from his family for 6 months. He left just last month on November 15th. He didn't go far, actually, only about 254 miles. You wouldn't think that would cause a lot of stress. But the problem wasn't so much the distance as it was the commute and the accommodations. See, this was Victor's transportation when he went to his new work site. There it is. The Falcon 9 rocket. State of the art. Super fast. Deanna's husband, Victor Glover, our brother in Christ, is a NASA astronaut. And today he is a month into his first space mission, a six-month stay on the International Space Station. He even took communion supplies with him so that he can share in the Lord's Supper when he's on the station and when he's worshiping God from there. Now, I'm sure that being in space is all very exciting for Victor, and I'm thrilled for him. May God bless him there and bless his work. But imagine being his wife and the mother of their four girls, watching that rocket lift off into space. The Christian Chronicle asked Deanna how she felt about her husband flying to the space station. Deanna said, quote, "Of course I'm excited, but it's also a little scary. I'm nervous. I'm excited for him. I have scriptures that I'm reading regularly to try to remind myself not to worry and not to stress," end quote. And then one of the scriptures that she reads, they said, is Philippians 4, verse 6, which is right in the middle of the text that I'd already chosen for our lesson this morning. This passage of scripture is perfect for Deanna Glover, perfect for us coming into the end of 2020, and perfect for all those times when anxiety threatens to overwhelm us and we need God's help. So, what does God teach us to do when we're anxious? Let's take a look at God's word. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in the city of Philippi in ancient Greece. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." From this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, we know of at least three sources of anxiety in this church when Paul wrote to them. They were suffering some persecution from non-believers. That's in chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. They were experiencing issues with people we call Judaizers. These were Christians who were Jewish and believed that everybody had to be a Jew to be a Christian. You had to be a Jew to be saved. That's in chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. And then in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, right before what we just read about not being anxious and about rejoicing in the Lord, Paul mentions a conflict between two women in the church there, diligent servants of God, but not able to get along for some reason. Their names were Euodia and Syntyche, two women in the church there. Through Paul, the Holy Spirit spoke God's instructions to this church to help them navigate their anxious times, times of persecution, times of dealing with false teaching, times of conflict within the family of the church. And these instructions have become some of the best loved verses in Scripture because they have so often helped God's people over the centuries to navigate anxious times in a healthy and faithful way. There are seven parts to Paul's instruction here, five commands and two promises. Part number one, in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. In fact, Paul is so emphatic about this, he says, I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord. Always, in every situation, find what is good and appreciate it. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Keep your eyes open to what is positive and good. Don't get all bogged down in the negative and all the stress. Remember to watch for what is good. Second part of this teaching, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. One way to define gentleness is responding graciously, even when the expected response is harsh or uncaring. Responding graciously. This can be speaking softly when everyone else is screaming angrily. It can be showing kindness and compassion when you could have been harsh. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul says, but be gentle. Be gentle. Gentleness can also mean giving up your own rights, like the person who doesn't want to wear the mask because it feels like a violation of their rights, but instead of getting angry, they act with gentleness. So they go ahead and wear the mask out of kindness and understanding for others. And that's exactly what many of you have done over and over this past year. In obedience to God, you have let your gentleness be evident to all. Praise God for that. Well done. The third part, don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer is a powerful antidote for anxiety. Powerful antidote. And it's not just because it involves meditation, which calms the body, soothes the mind. Now, secular psychologists will point out that prayer is a healthy exercise just because it slows your thinking and your body down, lets you relax a little bit. Well, that's true and that's good. But prayer also goes far beyond that, brings us into connection with the Almighty God, with our Creator. And then God helps us, and that's what's most important in prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Petition Him. Ask God over and over for what you need. Do not give up, but continue to ask. Petition involves passion. You petition God because you care deeply about what you're asking Him for. And thanksgiving. So important, because thanksgiving focuses our eyes back on God. It shows our appreciation. It keeps our relationship with God healthy. It reminds us that God has often been good to us and we can still trust Him. Fourth part of this instruction, verse 7. The peace of God will guard you. This is the first of two promises that Paul gives in this text. The peace of God will guard you. The peace of God is the peace that is from God, and it is also the peace that is God, because God is peaceful in His nature. So when we connect with God, we connect with His peace, and His peace guards us. The city of Philippi was, as I said a minute ago, in ancient Greece. But it was a Roman colony city, which meant that it was run under the same rules and system of government as the city of Rome itself. Philippi was a place where Roman military officers often settled when they retired. It had a very strong Roman culture. It kept Roman customs. And it had a Roman military garrison that guarded the city. As long as that garrison was stationed there, you could feel pretty safe from enemy attack in that particular city. Just like a strong military garrison, God's peace guards us, protects our hearts and our minds. It keeps us from losing heart or becoming bitter when things get rough. It keeps us healthy and able to serve the Lord. As you rejoice, as you act with gentleness, as you pray and petition and give thanks to God, this is the promise of the Holy Spirit given through the words of the Apostle Paul. The peace of God will guard you. So do not be anxious about anything. Fifth part of this teaching, verse 8. Think about what is good. Paul gives a list of the kinds of things that we should think about. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. All such things are good and wholesome because they align with the character of God. God Himself is true. God Himself is noble. God Himself is pure. God Himself is lovely. God Himself is absolutely praiseworthy. If you're thinking about things that align with the character of God, your thinking will stay healthy and productive. But if you dwell on things that are contentious, that are selfish, that are corrupt, things that are ugly, or that are vulgar, or that are evil, these things erode the traits of godliness that God is trying to build up in your mind to make your mind healthier and stronger. And then if you become anxious, well, no wonder You've torn down the defenses against anxiety that God was trying to build up in your mind. So think on what is good, what aligns with the character of God. This is one of the ways that God protects you and keeps your mind healthy. So keep an eye on what you watch during the day, what you listen to during the day. Keep an eye on what you say, what comes out of your mind. So watch what goes in and watch what comes out. Because those reveal what you tend to think about. Let everything you put in and let everything that comes out be pure and good in the sight of God. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The sixth part of this instruction, verse 9. Put what you've learned into practice. What you've already learned about how to live a godly life. For the Philippian church, they had learned directly from Paul, because the book of Acts tells us that he personally had started the church in Philippi and had stayed there and taught them for a while, and he kept a relationship with them after that. And so he tells them to put into practice the manner of godly living that they had seen in him and learned from him. Now, for us, we don't have the advantage of having Paul personally with us, but we have another advantage. We have the scriptures assembled in our time. They didn't have all of that, certainly not the Christian portion, the New Testament. We have the scriptures, including Paul's teaching here. So we learn from the scriptures, and we learn from believers who are models of godliness in the church. And this, you know, is one important reason why we meet with the church on a regular basis. Where else are you going to find examples of godliness who you can learn from and model after over a long period of time? People like that are in the church. People that, for whom you might be a model of godliness are in the church. This is where we find each other. This is one of the reasons that we gather together every week. And the seventh part of this instruction, verse 9 again, Paul's second promise. The God of peace will be with you. God who gives us peace will not leave you. He is dependable. And when you are anxious, he will give you peace. For a woman like Deanna Glover, this has to be a profound encouragement. That when your husband leaves for 6 months of work in space, the God of peace will be with you. Now, a disclaimer here. Nothing in this lesson should keep you from going to the doctor if you're experiencing the kind of anxiety that is that doesn't make sense and that might be a medical issue. For that, you may need medical help. I've experienced that kind of anxiety. It's a real thing. It's okay to go and get the help that you need. In fact, you need to do that if you're feeling that kind of anxiety. God himself has given us doctors to help us with that kind of anxiety. At the same time, in every anxious situation, follow these instructions that the Holy Spirit has given us through the Apostle Paul. God himself has given us these instructions to help us find peace when circumstances make us anxious. See, the power in these instructions is that they turn our minds back to God. God is there in all seven parts of this teaching. Look at it again with me. Rejoice in what? In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord gives and refreshes our joy. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. His nearness means protection. If the Lord is near, then you are safe. You can be gentle without being afraid. His nearness comforts us. You can be gentle and comfort others. His nearness warns us not to fail to be gentle, because God sees all that we do. And if we fail to be gentle with others the way God is gentle with us, God will not be pleased. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all. With prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. Go straight to Him. You don't have to go through saints or angels or anyone else. You, as a child of God, are invited to go straight to God in prayer. You have the privilege of direct access to the Almighty God. Pray and petition and give thanks to God. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Through your relationship with God in Christ Jesus, God will guard your hearts and your minds. Think on what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, what is excellent and praiseworthy. All these attributes reflect something about the character of God. Think about things that are closely connected with God. Put into practice what you've learned from Paul or from Scripture, because these things come from God. And the God of peace will be with you. God is there in every part of this teaching. When you're anxious, turn to God. And it's hard to believe it until you experience it, but it's so true. When we pray and petition God, when we obey His commands, when we do the things that Paul teaches us here, God is with us, and God gives us His peace, and He protects us. And we can rest from our anxiety. Maybe Deanna's husband still has 5 more months to go up there on the space station, and then he has a dangerous re-entry trip back home. And she has those 4 girls in the house to take care of. She has plenty to be anxious about, but God is there, and He gives her peace, and He will give us peace too. We are going through difficult times, and we still have a little way yet to go. These are anxiety-producing times. If you feel yourself becoming stressed over how hard life is at home right now, or if you feel yourself becoming stressed over politics or concerns about COVID or anything else that people get anxious about, or if you or someone you love is facing something that is genuinely scary, that's worthy of being anxious about, do these things that God has taught us to do. Rejoice. Be gentle. Pray and petition God and give thanks. Think about the right things. Put into practice what we've learned about how to walk with God. Do all these things that God has taught us to do. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the God of peace will be with you. May God bless you. Let's pray together. Dear Father, you know the anxieties of our hearts. You know what makes us afraid. You know what makes us nervous from day to day. You know what we dread. And you know, Lord, how weak we tend to be. But we know that you are our God, our Creator, and our good Father. We know your awesome power that you put on display through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Lord, if you could raise a person from the dead to live forever, there is nothing that you cannot do. We honor you as our God, and we look to you. We pray that you would give us peace in our times of anxiety. Help us to do the things that you've taught us to do. Help us to obey your command, that we might find peace in you. That more than just being at peace ourselves, we may be people of peace, to spread your peace to those around us, and so to be a blessing to them in your name. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for the peace you give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.